His Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving Sai Ram to all the listeners of Morning Glory on Thursday Live. This is Karuna from Team Radio Sai coming to you live from the Radio Sai studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Today is the 21st of January 2016 and it is 9:40 a.m. Indian Standard Time in the ashram right now. Current temperature in Prashanthi Nilayam is 22 degrees Celsius with an expected high of 28 degrees Celsius later in the afternoon. We have overnight lows of 19 degrees Celsius these days. This morning, dear listeners, I'm pleased to inform you that we have for you some solid inspiration lined up on Morning Glory. But first, let me state that with the divine grace of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba, our Prashanthi Nilayam is turning into a spiritual paradise in every sense of my claim, every single moment. Even our weather system is becoming kinder and gentler. Just a few days after Makar Sankranti, the mercury just started to rise a tiny bit and afternoons were feeling somewhat warm. And then, the rain gods showered gentle, night-long blessings upon us from Tuesday night through most of Wednesday morning. All the recently planted palm trees along our main road, all the parks in the ashram, everything is looking clean and green and the temperatures are again very cool and very comfortable for most of us. And just a tad nippy for others who have pulled out their earmuffs and sweaters and shawls to stay warm. As I was driving into the office this morning, I just saw some Russian parents with their cute children in the strollers, all dressed in their hoodies by the Western canteen. It will, of course, get warmer during the day, but pleasant warm and far from hot. Don't you just love this place? I'm so grateful to call my home, my Parthi, my Prashanti. Thank you, Swami, for your abundant grace. The perfection of the weather systems, the cool, comfortable breeze, the pollution-free air, the peace in the ashram ambience, all of it has such a soothing impact on our health and our inner well-being that once we step into the hallowed precincts of Prashanthi Nilayam, our mind becomes calm, the senses are at peace, and the heart, well, the heart is always at home here. On that soothing note, dear brothers and sisters, I wish to share with you my personal joy. Recently, Bhagwan blessed me with an opportunity to enjoy two eye-opening and morale-boosting interviews. Both these interviews filled me with such deep gratitude for Bhagwan that I'm truly in awe of his vision to have placed all the right people in all the right spots for the right job. The two visionaries that I was privileged to interview are Mr. Nimish Pandya, the All India President of the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization, who took up this position at the time of the 90th birthday, and Mr. V. Srinivasan, the All India President Emeritus, whose contribution to the Sri Sathya Sai Seva Organization and its smooth growth and transition speaks enough for his leadership qualities. Both these gentlemen left me speechless with the grandeur, the vision, and the attention to detail that has gone into planning the future of the organization that bears the name of the Purnavatar, Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. No Sai devotee can afford to miss these two interviews. With Swami's grace and blessings, we hope to debut them right here on Morning Glory in 2 weeks' time. That is on February the 4th, 2016. I urge you, dear listeners, to save the date February 4th and the time, 9:40 a.m. on your schedules. This is a heads up, as you may want to share this information with your entire Sai Center or Sai Samiti and the district and the region and the state. Everyone who prays in the name of our Lord and is blessed to be associated with the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization in any way or form cannot afford to miss these two interviews. All your questions will be answered, your doubts cleared, and everything explained to leave you on a very high note about the future. Now moving along, last week I posed a question to the listeners of Morning Glory and many of you responded immediately by email. However, some of your emails reached me after I closed the program. Therefore, I am very happy to share the results of this little contest with you this morning. Now, I was announcing about the resumption of a popular Thursday Live program last week and I asked what the short form of this name SMN stands for. S for Simon, M for Mary, and N for Nancy. The following listeners got the answers right, but I got their emails later. Suhana Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa. Congratulations to Suhana, who we know is an avid Radio Sai listener. We got your answer and it was right, she said, and I will tell you later what the answer was. But one of the most precious responses we got was from Irvine in California, USA. Our listeners, Shweta Sai Palakur, age 12, and Shreya Sai Palakur, age 5, wrote to us, and I quote them, "Sai Ram, we are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live, and SMN is Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Thank you, and Sai Ram." Very well done for 5-year-old and the wise dear Shreya Sai and the 12-year-old dear Shweta Sai of Irvine, California, USA. Your answer is absolutely right. And so is Suhana Patel's. Last week, we also announced some other respondents who had their answers right, including Shankari Subhash and Anuradha Kafle of Nepal. Congratulations to all our listeners who responded to us, including the few who did not get the name right. It's all right. We appreciate your participation and thank you for it. Now, dear brothers and sisters, I have one observation that cannot be ignored, and that is, all the respondents seem to be ladies, from our young listeners in California to the adults. So where are all the brothers? Listening to SMN but not to Morning Glory, where the quiz was posed, or just not motivated enough to respond? Dear listeners, let's hear it from all of you, from our dear sisters and our dear brothers. So today's question is coming up soon. Meanwhile, I request you to note the email ID for your reply, please. It is karuna@radiosai.org. Let me repeat that. Karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A, Karma Apple Roma, United, Norway, America, @radiosai.org. With that out of the way, here is my question for you today. Can you name the Japanese business magnate who came to Prashanti Nilayam to attend Bhagwan Baba's 90th birthday and to take darshan of the Maruti statue on the Hanuman Hill? One clue, he is the global chairman of a major automaker and the name of Maruti is extremely important to him. Dear brothers and sisters, go ahead and email me the correct answer of this Japanese business leader whose candid interview was featured on Radio Sai not too long ago. My email ID remains karuna@radiosai.org. Today's litmus test will prove if Morning Glory listeners are only our ladies or also the brothers. It's not for nothing that I address all our divine listeners as dear sisters and brothers. Have you heard any one of us say only dear sisters or only dear brothers? So, everyone, please send your answers right now. Your question is, if you can name the Japanese business leader who came to Prashanti Nilayam to attend the 90th birthday of Bhagwan Baba and to have darshan of the Maruti statue on the Hillview Stadium's, on the Hanuman Hill overlooking the Hillview Stadium. One critical clue is that he is the global chairman of a major automaker, and the name of Lord Maruti means a lot to him. With that, I am delighted to continue this morning's episode of Morning Glory with part two of a fleeting moments interview with Dr. B. Shivakumar that started last Thursday and will conclude next week Thursday right here on Morning Glory. Over now to Dr. B. Shivakumar in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti of Radio Sai. Have a listen, please, and you can start sending in your emails.
It was that morning darshan that Swami went around, and we were both sitting actually near the, the old boys area near the car shed. And Swami saw us, but he didn't take the letter. He continued finishing with darshan. Then from there we went to the bhajan hall and sat there with the letter. And Swami usually is very busy on the day when he leaves, he'll be talking to the VIPs and blessing them and so many things which happens as a part of, and he will take aarti and then he'll leave. So we were quite, worried whether it will really happen that Swami will come and talk to us. But it so happens that he came and then he looked at us and then he took the letter and he said, see, Registrar to matladanu, Registrar and Vice Chancellor, actually we are saying that it is difficult, but I only told them, take these two boys, give them research.
Wow.
I mean, he said, in spite of all the difficulties that may be there in an official technical way, he made sure that we start doing our work. And he said, Nain, I will go to Bangalore, you stay here, you start your work right from today onwards. And that's wow. How we joined. I think the 13th of March, if I remember well, 1997, that we realized that, okay, after that, we got our letters and everything and we stayed back. So there's a twist and a turn everywhere to make sure that, and the, so sweetly Swami said, Registrar ne bola nahi, and Vice Chancellor ne bola nahi, and Swami bola, unko do. Very sweetly, Just to give us that special moment of His grace. I'm not sure what I have done to receive that, but at the end of the day, it's just His love. There's no other explanation. His love and your love for Him, which keeps you there. That's all.
I mean, all your life, that is what you always wanted.
Wanted, yes.
Just to be here. And here, Bhagwan was putting the whole universe together.
Together, exactly.
Just
exactly.
For you to.
I mean, they
say.
Actually did that because they had to put the professor from biosciences name as in the letter and then say that there is an external guide and, all kinds of technical issues were sorted out and we both were in
Prabal Prem ke pyale padkar Prabhu ko niyam badalte dekha.
Exactly.
It's like
very,
that.
Very true. Very true.
That's
what he does.
When our love for Him is so great, or at least that is His love for us. He'll change
true.
His rules.
True.
All
exactly.
The time.
That's what He does.
He'll change
does.
His rules. I mean, for the sake of love, He will do everything.
Everything. And at the right time.
At the right time.
That's the thing.
Yeah. And I think that timing is something really amazing about Bhagwan, isn't it?
That's where, you realize that is divinity.
That is divinity, exactly.
Because all the other things of His compassion, His love for you, you can maybe experience it at one level. But to experience the divinity part of it is about timing.
That timing.
I know for sure. His timing for me has been that precise. That precise.
Amazing. And I think so. How it was after that, once you got into the PhD, I think your efforts to all the time.
Well, I again went back enjoying playing the tabla. Now I know for sure that I have the privilege of again sitting right in the front, in the first row, right where the bhajan hall door is to, start. Right there, right?
So now you're
interview room
senior.
Door, senior most, maybe. And believe me, I think the entire, my lessons which I learned was all sitting there and observing Swami. I used to look at Swami the way He used to come out of the interview room and, He has just finished an interview and then He used to go and talk to the VIPs in the upper portico. And then He will move from there, He'll glide down to the middle portico where He used to spend His time with His birthday boys.
Yes.
And then He will go down to the next level where all the students used to sit. And on Sundays, most interestingly, He will then move on to these primary school kids.
Yes.
at every phase, at every, all those maybe seemingly, geographically different zones, Swami is to move in a way where I think He clearly showed what He is at every level.
Yes.
What He is to the VIP, what He is to the student who's come for blessing, what He is to the senior students maybe, and what He is to the junior most student. And that facet is something that I used to love just watching it.
Wow. You just see how Bhagwan is talking to now,
so to say,
perhaps the army general.
Exactly.
And the next moment he's talking to a 10th class boy.
Asking for a primary school kid, what is the breakfast this morning? And here he is signing maybe, a water project or, the most complicated case in the history. He's discussing with a doctor there in the portico. And there he'll go and ask, in the same tone, he'll go and ask, how many idlis did he eat? So that's, that was something
amazing,
too good for me to really realize that I was sitting there to witness all of that, to enjoy all of that. Not have been possible without playing tabla. Coming back to that.
Yes. The tabla was definitely your guide. It's like a compass.
It took me there. Yes.
Without it, you would not have reached the lotus feet physically.
Not at all. I can assure you that. I don't know. That's Swami's grace.
Yes, of course. No, it was basically because of that pining. You had that pining, so He created different avenues and mediums, and there was no music in your blood, so to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't come from a background of musicians.
Never learned from any Guruji as such, but luckily, yes, the most beloved Guru was right in front of you. And
you actually played with very stalwarts music, isn't it?
Very true. How can I not mention about that? Because, like I said, once I joined this PhD, it was by Swami's grace, I was fortunate to complete it within the 3 to 4 years time, those days. And it just after that, maybe I would have finished maybe somewhere in 2000 October or something like that. And I was waiting for my degree. 2001, one fine day, one of those morning bhajans, Swami had come for darshan, and then He spoke to somebody in the VIP portico, and then He looked into the bhajan hall, and He picked me up. There were 2-3 of us actually, one more tabla boy was there, and He suddenly picked me up, and I went near Him, and Swami said, you accompany them this evening. And I wasn't sure whom He is talking about. And I said, yes, Swami. I very promptly, obviously, when Swami asks you. And I said, yes, Swami. And then he looked at that person, and then I said, you meet him after bhajans. That's the point when I turned and looked at him, and it was Mandalin Yu Srinivas.
Oh, my God.
Believe me, I can't say I was really happy or confident about accompanying him at that point of time, but I was standing right in front of Swami, so I said, yes, Swami, and I looked at Him, and with a shivering hand, I went back and sat in the bhajan hall. Normal bhajans happened, and after the bhajans, I rushed to Sri Srinivas Ji, and then I was kind of hoping, actually, that He might want a mridangam player, not a tabla. A tabla is more for maybe bhajans and Hindustani types, and I was like, they were known for Carnatic music.
Yes.
So I was hoping that He will say He needs a mridangam player, so to say that I can, not really show my incompetency in playing or accompanying such a big musician. Because believe me, Mandalin Yu Srinivas, why I'm saying this is, maybe he was around about the same, we were contemporaries, and I've only heard his name in the All India Radio.
Mm.
Those days when I was in school, very regularly they used to mention in the child prodigy's mandolin piece is going to happen now, and I have listened to it just as a casual radio listener.
Yeah.
So to actually be in front of him and accompany was something totally out of the blue and shocking. So I kind of asked him, sir, do you want a mridangam player? And he was so humble. This is something that you will see such accomplished musicians, when they come to Swami, humility is what strikes you the most. He was so simple. He just looked at me and he said, it is their fortune and good fortune that Swami had asked one of his boys to accompany them.
Oh my God.
This was unheard of.
He's telling you it is my fortune.
Yes.
That I...
You're going to play with
me. I was like, no, sir, that's not how it is. I'm really, I told him frankly that I'm actually scared of playing,
Him that?
Yeah, the kind of music you all play. He said, no, please don't even hesitate. This is an opportunity Swami has given us. You please play whatever you feel like. I will manage the rest.
Oh my God.
And I was so happy. At the same time, I was so afraid as to what's going to happen. And it was like that evening.
Oh.
It was not as if like Swami told me 1 week ahead. Well, we had a session of practice. He just was at that evening, and I came to his room, and maybe we sat for a half an hour to 45 minutes at the most.
So you and Puthi are the brothers?
Yeah, my one more brother, I think CG Sai Prakash, he was there to accompany him on the Tampura. And we both sat there, and they said that we will play mostly bhajans. It'll be Swami bhajans and some devotional songs. So I was like, sir, I'm not confident of this, the Carnatic kind of an ending in a song when they end as a particular count, because I had only played for bhajans, not as in classical, accompanied anybody in the real sense. But he was so sure of what he wanted to do in spite of me. So he said, you can neenga, in fact he was talking to me in Tamil, neenga eppa venala stop pannunga, you stop whenever you feel like. I will manage.
Oh my
God. I was very sure he will take care. So, and of course, above all, Swami is there. So in the evening, the program happened for almost 1 to 1.5 hours, continuously. Swami was very happy, and I was sitting right next to Swami's chair, actually, on the stage. And in fact, Swami didn't ask me to tell him to play a Meera bhajan. I went and kind of requested Srinivasji, and then he played a Meera bhajan. So it all went really smooth, really smooth. And I still cherish that, the CD which we have made. And one of the biggest, I can say, moment when I felt that more than, our faith, even Swami had that faith in us,
Yes.
He can inspire, he can make you feel important, even though it was, for Swami, any musician can come and, they can come with their entire band of musicians to accompany him. But it is just that, at that moment, Swami just picked me up, and I realized that what it means to be in the presence of Swami and perform.
Yes.
On the stage, with a professional musician whose humility touched me. So that's when I realized it is not at all about, just your accomplishment as a musician. It is more about how you offer it to the Lord,
Yes.
That made all the difference. And that was the biggest lesson I learned during that performance. And really, Swami was, I do remember that I had a, my own something during a particular piece, and Swami actually looked at me and gave me a smile, kind of indicating to me, don't try too many stunts, Swami used to always jokingly tell us many times in the bhajanola also, yes. Whenever you play, play simple. So I realized then I was doing my, simple accompaniment. But yeah, that's how I got some of these wonderful chances. And I think I even played with Parveen Sultana ji once.
Oh, wow.
To accompany her along with the other boys also who played. And some of the more other cherished moments were when Dana Gillespie had come.
Yes. Oh, so you got that.
Yes.
Hindustani,
Carnatic, as well as Western.
Oh, wow.
And she was amazing in the sense she had this beautiful way of singing bhajans.
Yes.
And Swami had personally told all of us to go and give her, the music support, the instrumental support. So yes, that was actually one of the biggest, I would say, a blessing, because during the, I think the 70th birthday on the stage in the ground,
yes.
We all could accompany, on such a huge day. And I was there part of the music program. So I can tell you that word that Swami said in MSc, tabla guidance. I just held on to it, And luckily for me, Swami also held on to it.
Wow. And I think so much of confidence he infused in you, isn't it?
Very, very true. Very, very
true. That self-confidence that we talk about,
very true.
We know that it is not confident in ourselves. It is that confidence on him that he instills in us.
Exactly. No, that's seriously. Otherwise, there is always, we never, though Swami tells us, self-confidence is the foundation.
Yes.
It's not easy for one to, you know, gain that. But even that Swami gives us, you know, more than we learning on our own, even that He bestows on us to gain that confidence. You know, and once you gain that, then it's, you know, you enjoy more and more being closer to Swami.
Amazing. So even as your tabla was going on, your PhD also was progressing.
Yes, it was. Again, I'm reminded of this incident when I was obviously thinking that everything is just going smooth. That once, all of a sudden, in the bhajan hall, he asked me, how is your PhD going on?
Mm-hmm. This is like 3 years into your PhD?
Yeah, somewhere, yes, around the final year, I could say. Not exactly final year, third year of my research.
99-2000
time. And I was, Swami has never asked me anything to do with my PhD because I was very happy playing the tabla. So I was doing my work. So when he asked me, I said, Swami, it's going on fine. But immediately Swami made a stern face and they said, no.
Oh.
You are just roaming like cats and rats.
Oh, oh my God.
Now that came out of nowhere and I knew what he meant. Oh. And then he said, do properly, and he went. So that is when I realized that I was actually, frankly, not like the same thing, you know, the hard work was not there. You know,
clever, but not hard work.
Happy to enjoy the presence, or, you know, the closeness with Swami and everything, but that much amount of hard work was not there. So that again,
so
you know,
here that Swami was telling you, you are getting distracted.
Distracted. And, you know, the timely push once again was there from Swami's side. Again, that's where I keep wondering, what have I done to enjoy this? You know, that push, you know, at that right time, if Swami had not told, I would have maybe relaxed a bit more. But it would have got extended. And my aim was to actually, I mean, my prayer, I would say, not even an aim, my prayer was to finish for 2000, you know, it was one of those those 5 years, big birthdays of Swami.
Yes.
And I thought maybe that would be a wonderful opportunity
to
receive my PhD degree from Swami's hands. I mean, such a huge occasion. So that was my aim, and I was actually not focusing on that, you know. I realized that, you know, there was not enough work done for that. And
just like in your final year of BSc, he told you to study so that you could
get into MSc. And here he was just there to point and give me that nudge so that I focus on research. And yes, I went back and I started putting my efforts on that. And I did finish well on time. But for some technical reasons, I wasn't able to get my degree in 2000.
So you couldn't get it for the scientific
No, I missed that. I couldn't say. I just actually missed the bus more than anything. My I felt my ticket was there, my seat was there, but I missed the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, it happens with Swami, you know, when this disappointment happens, you know for sure, if you hold on, if you pray, there are better things to follow.
Yes.
And that exactly what happened between 2000 November to 2001 November, when I actually got my PhD degree. That 1 year,
mm-hmm.
I would say I went back to my second waiting period, you know, where I had finished my PhD. Now I don't have a job,
so you missed so getting to it say, during the birthday.
I missed getting it during the 75th birthday. Very worried, very disappointed. My parents were also disappointed because it's such a big occasion, you know, to be with Swami on that day, to receive it from His hands.
Yes.
And all that was weighing so heavily. But as the days, you know, went by, I realized that I was having one of my best moments of, you know, sitting in front of Swami in the morning also, in the evening also, and playing the tabla for maybe...
Like those 9 months?
No, 9 months. At least those days, you know, you were an old student, so to say, but here you were... You are more like a staff. You already finished your PhD. Yes, so, but that again, I started enjoying. I enjoyed the fact that I was there to serve Swami in whatever way I was, you know, loving to do it. But, you know, the moment of truth came when, I think it was in September again in 2001 maybe, that Swami had actually... I had spoken to one of the VIPs in the morning, and he was from Indonesia. He was Mr. Mirpuri, the music college, the donor for the music college.
Yeah.
He had spoken to Swami in the morning. He had an interview, and post that, in the, you know, during the daytime, I came to know that he was asking Swami for, you know, taking two boys to the to Indonesia, to his company.
To work in Indonesia.
In fact, when I was, I think, in my third UG, a couple of my seniors had passed out, and then Swami had sent them, you know, with this person, and they were actually working in Indonesia.
They were working in Indonesia.
And actually,
I also remember Swami asking me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
That's interesting. How did you escape? Yes, I mean, seriously.
Swami said that you'll get a lot of money, this, that, and I the only scene that is there in my mind, I kept crying.
See, you do understand where I come from, you know. So I heard this, and in my mind, I was like worried. What if Swami asked me? Because, you know, he knows that I have not been going for any work or teaching in the college, and I'm just there in the morning for bhajans. Again, I'm there in the evening for bhajans. So I was worried, what if Swami asks me? But, well, it's finally Swami's plan, so there's nothing that you can do about it. So I waited, I came in the evening for the bhajans. I mean, darshan and bhajans. Swami finished his rounds, and before he went to the interview room, he looked at me and asked, how many old students are there? And I said, Swami, around 15, 20 boys are there, Swami. They are sitting near the, you know, car shed area. And we said, okay. You can, he just casually made a remark saying that, okay, you call them, you let them be there. Something which, you know, not very specific instruction, but he just said something and he went. Now, I wasn't sure exactly where it was leading. So, my mind, it was all about this, you know, Swami may be selecting a couple of boys for sending them to Indonesia. You know, this was there in my mind all the time.
It was going on,
and that VIP was sitting right there in the VIP portico, and I was wondering, okay, maybe that's why Swami asked me about this waiting boys who want to stay back. So I waited, continued to be there in Bhajan Hall. After some time, Swami came, and then he stood in front of me and he started saying something. And in my mind, I was so convinced that he is going to ask me about going to Indonesia, just as how mind plays its own tricks.
Mm.
When Swami was speaking to me, he started with saying this, Naku iddaru pillalu kavali. He said, I need two boys.
Oh.
Now, till there, I heard.
Okay.
Now, it matched with all that imagination that I've been having the whole day. So, the minute I heard...
Those two boys are already sent.
Already sent. So, I knew the minute he said two boys, this is going to be Indonesia. So in my mind, I'm thinking hard. Okay, at the end of all of this, Swami is going to ask me whether you want to go. So when he says this word, Nuvvu Potava, I should tell Swami I don't want to go. Nuvvu Potava meaning, do you want to go? And I should somehow tell him that I don't want to go. Now, I think it took almost a minute to have Swami's attention is something huge. And
yes,
this entire time, I was thinking about how to avoid going to Indonesia.
Like Swami is telling you something.
And I'm not even hearing. I didn't even realize that I was not hearing.
Mm.
I was so much engrossed in my, you know, tactics, so to say, to avoid this, you know, whole thing. And in the end, Swami said, Nuvu chestava.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this was a different word altogether, you know. That what I thought would be what Swami was asking. Nuvu chestava means, will you do?
Hmm.
Now, for a minute, I was not sure what went wrong.
Because you didn't hear what Swami
said. In my mind, it is clear it is for Indonesia and I should avoid. And here, Swami said, Nuvu chestava. Then, again, like I said, it is once again Swami's love that I had the courage to ask Swami, Swami, what did you say?
Oh my God.
Exactly, I mean, that's the word. And I asked him in Tamil, as if I did not understand Telugu or anything. By then I could easily understand Swami's Telugu, but still I thought better make it more sure in my own comfortable language. So I asked Swami, enna sonninga? You know, what did you tell? And Swami, out of his immense, you know, love or patience, whatever you call it, he repeated the entire thing.
Oh my God.
And this time, actually, he repeated in Tamil. He said, see, like this, I need two boys because these two boys who are already doing this duty, you know, those days, Swami had actually stopped giving Pada Namaskaram because he wanted, meanwhile he was walking during the darshan time, he had announced that he will not give any more, he stopped the devotees from touching his feet. So that is when he had actually appointed two boys. Through the registrar and the vice chancellor, they said they had selected a couple of boys from students who were walking right before Swami in during the darshan time.
Mm-hmm.
They used to walk maybe hardly a feet away from Swami, right next to his feet, and to help, you know, from devotees from not touching Swami's feet, so mm-hmm. that Swami will walk freely.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally they even collect the letters and stuff. So this was going on, and these two boys were sitting at the in the portico, and Swami was pointing at them, and he was looking at me and telling, see, those two boys are having exams, and they are students, so they have to prepare for the exams, wherein you have been free, you know, he just said that you morning and evening, you're just coming for bhajans, so will you do that duty?
Oh, wow.
I mean, when I heard that, I mean, halfway through when he was actually telling me this, I realized that this is something huge. I mean, this is not something which comes to you, not even in a lifetime, you know, to be asked by the Lord himself whether I will be wanting to do that, you know, forget about asking me to do it. It's not like he came and told me you do this. He's asking me.
Oh my God.
And I immediately like a you know, crazy person, I said, Swami, I will do. Some three times I think I repeated, and it was very obvious for the people who were sitting around me that something really went wrong, because the first time when Swami said the same thing, I didn't listen to a word of it, and I wasn't even reacting to it, and now I'm jumping and I'm telling Swami I will do this.
Look at Swami's patience, no? See, he told you the entire thing first time. And he's giving you such an opportunity. And you were actually closed.
I was closed, literally.
And he has that Himalayan love to actually tell it again, the whole thing. I mean, anybody in that position, you know, like, hello, I'm giving you such a chance, and you're so...
And you're talking to Swami. It is not like an administrator or somebody else.
Anybody else would have told...
Yes.
You're not interested.
It is not interested, exactly. I mean, I was so, you know, I didn't know how to now... you know, patch this entire thing, the blunder that I have committed. So I immediately said, Swami, I will do.
And so what? I will do.
And what came after that was even more interesting, that Swami looked at me and said, you select one more boy. I will come and see.
You select one more boy.
You select.
Oh my.
Now this came to me more, I was now confused.
Yeah.
He said this and he went off into the interview room. And I was now confused whether this all happened for real. Is he actually talking about the duty of walking right next to Swami? Is that what he is referring to? I was so confused. I asked my, you know, the brothers who were sitting there.
Why on earth will he ask you to
speak? Me, exactly. I mean, we all know how it happens, right? I mean, Swami will call the vice chancellor, the registrar, the warden. You know, that's a procedure which you never, it's all a hush hush, and you never know. What happens there in the interview room, and finally, you know, the concerned person is told. And here he comes to me and asks me to select another person. So now I was confused, and I said, okay, maybe Swami is just, you know, asking, maybe it is not really that. You know, again, my mind was playing over me, and I thought, I will just wait. Let us not again do something, you know, which might even spoil whatever little chances are there. So Swami came out. And this time when he looked at me, he asked me, where is that boy?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the boys? And I knew he was actually seriously asking me to go and select one person. And he asked me, and I said, Swami, they are sitting near the garage. He said, make them sit here. And then he went to the interview room. Now, I knew now the things are serious, getting serious. So I went out for whatever little knowledge I had of, you know, observing Swami and looking at him speak to boys and everything. I went and chose one brother, and then I told him, this is what is happening. There is no assurance of anything. There is no guarantee. It's that, but Swami has, you know, asked me to choose one more boy so that he will give this duty, this chance. And he was all the more excited, and he said, of course, I will come. And I was naive. By now I was quite doubtful of my position, you know,
yeah,
where it stands in this entire drama.
You are selecting someone
who serve him. You know, how does that happen? So I thought, okay, maybe I will select, you know, give one more chance, one more choice to Swami, because for all that I have done, he may not even want me. So I chose one more boy,
okay,
you know, thinking Swami may choose them. You know, two boys he wanted, so I selected two boys, and I came and sat in Bhajan Hall with those two boys. Now, the every minute which passed by after that was such a heavy, you know, pounding in my heart. And I'm wondering if it goes more closer to bhajan's time, then the bhajans will start, then, you know, then Swami may not really come and convey what exactly is happening.
Everything will be in a flux.
In a flux. So I was praying hard, Swami, please come out and clear this whole thing. But it was registrar who came out from the interview room. Swami had called the VC, the ex-VC and the registrar. The registrar comes out and then he told me, what did you tell Swami? He said, Swami, sir, I told I'm ready to serve him. So the next thing he asked the other boy, what is your chance? The boy whom I selected first.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was expressing his desire to be with Swami because this happened and then he went away. You know, just before, you know, registrar came out, actually Swami came once. I mean, the registrar actually came and told me that you get all the boys. You know, mm-hmm. let us give the entire choice to Swami. Let him choose.
Correct.
Who, this is the right way to do it, obviously.
Yeah.
So, the minute he said, get all of them, I went out and all the 15 to 20 boys were sitting in the first row.
Boys were waiting.
Were waiting. Who had finished their, you know, degrees and they were there for Swami to give them instructions. So, Swami then came out and he went around the portico and then he came towards me and then he asked, where are the boys? Then I showed Swami. And for whatever reason, obviously Swami only knows, he actually blasted me.
Oh.
He immediately started telling me that I had no sense in what I did and I had called people who would want to go. When he told me that you get boys who want to wait, and I went and did the exact opposite, and he was looking at the, you know, the controller of the examinations and telling who actually ever gave me PhD, how did he manage to finish PhD, and it was getting really serious, and I for a minute thought this is going to be like, I've not yet got my PhD degree, mind you, and I was waiting for it in November, and I thought maybe this is the end of it. So I was so worried, but I had no opportunity to tell anything to Swami, explain or anything. Swami just blasted me and he went inside the interview room. Now with the entire, you know, troop of boys sitting to the left of me, I knew everybody is looking at me now as if I made a mistake and they all lost their chances. So I just closed my eyes and prayed, Swami, whatever it is, please forgive me. I did in whatever knowledge I had.
Mm.
I'm sure, you know, you have your reasons to, you know, tell me this. So I just prayed. So within a few minutes, the registrar came out and that's when he asked me, so did you agree to Swami? I said, yes, sir. And then he asked the other boy, are you even interested in doing it? And he also jumped to the fact saying that, yes, sir, I wanted to do. And then the catch to the whole story was that I believe the other boy, the brother, he had written to Swami that he wanted to go home.
Oh, okay.
In his letters to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that which Swami was reflecting. You know, that here is a person who wants to go home and I have brought him and made him sit right next to me, thinking, you know, in my own knowledge of understanding that he may be eligible for this.
Mm.
But, I mean, this is just a drama, you know, which has to, you know, unfold in his own way.
Yeah.
He's not going to give you the joy that, you know, you chose somebody else, like you said, for doing, serving him. So it was all a big drama which happened. And then the registrar goes inside. He sent word for us. Then we went inside the interview room and finally Swami gave us this chance. And he was so sweet at the end of whatever happened there. And then he told that, you know, you don't really have to struggle much. All you have to do is to walk for that half a stretch, you know, from Jen's side and tell the devotees not to touch my feet. And after I finish darshan, you can go wherever you want, you know.
Oh my God.
Such sweet instructions. I can't even.
He's feeling sorry for.
He's, as if he's obliged. I mean, as if we are obliged to do that for him. I mean, it is it's unheard of. I mean, you don't sit in front of the Lord of the Universe and then get to hear such love for his boys that he has to tell, you know, that it is not straining or anything, you know, it is not a stressful job. Just a very small.
He didn't feel sorry for whatever
asking strength. Us to do something for him.
You may undergo.
It is. I don't know. I mean, where to even end this? You know, such a. I can say an incident which happened. Like I said, the purpose of it. I wouldn't say that I deserved the chance or anything, but it all came back to me. The actual revelation of this entire episode came back much later.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm saying this is because, you know, when I was enjoying this moment and the next few months I was doing, you know, walking in front of Swami and all of that, and we used to crawl literally on our knees. And Swami, within 5 months, he was going to Vrindavan. And that's when I met with an accident here
mm-hmm.
in Parthi. He was in Vrindavan for, I think, for the first anniversary of the hospital.
2002. January.
January. And this happened in February when I met with this accident.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I'm, you know, the later on I realized the significance of Swami making me walk or maybe making me do that duty for him. Though I had shared this incident during the Sai Sanidhi day, like you said, it was a very, very, abridged version. What I realized months after I recovered or maybe during the recovery that I knew for sure that this opportunity which he gave me was more like, you know, giving me something so that I can serve him so he could actually save my leg. You know, the reason being the knee, which was what, you know, the when I met with the accident, that got the entire impact and I still don't have a patella, so to say in the technical terms. So that leg did that, you know, few months of duty for Swami, so to call. I mean, to serve Swami for his physical frame. You know, something which you directly do for Swami.
Yes.
And he created that opportunity for me so that he could change destiny itself. You know, what was written to be lost. You know, like I said, that night when those 9 doctors were there, 8 of them were sure that it has to be amputated.
Your leg has to be amputated.
Amputated, because it was so severely damaged that trying to recover that is more of a life-threatening issue than actually, you know, amputating and then maybe getting a, you know, artificial leg, which could have been much more easier from medical point of view as well as from myself, the patient, who could have experienced less pain. But that night, obviously, so very well orchestrated by Swami that, you know, the doctor who attended to my case, Dr. Sundaresh, he was the head of the department, so the rest of the doctors couldn't say no to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said one thing that, tonight let us leave this. Let's not take this decision to amputate his leg tonight. If required, maybe tomorrow we'll do it, but not tonight. I reached somewhere in the middle of the night, around 1 a.m. or so. So he had to request them and they agreed and they went about doing whatever operation they could for more than, I think I was in the theater for 6 hours. And the next morning, the 5th of February, he went to Vrindavan and he sent word through the warden praying to Swami that this decision has to be taken. So to praying to Swami to guide on this. And Swami, I believe very, you know, in his own, so to say, casual way, though it has such, you know, big importance in your life. For Swami, it was just like another day when he just told the warden, no need for amputation, he will walk.
No need for amputation.
No need for amputation.
He will walk.
He will walk.
Wow.
And he sent him with a few
how bad was your leg now? It is almost, all the doctors were saying that it has to be cut.
It has to be cut because they knew for sure that, like I can say in technical terms, all the bones from my knee till my shin, the foot, it was all in pieces. And there is no way of actually putting them together. It is more like reconstructing the entire leg. And it's not about just reconstruction of the leg, but the infection that it could lead to danger for life. You know, that was the more, you know, the fearing aspect, because the doctors didn't want to take that chance.
Mm-hmm.
But here Swami was, you know, in one word, he said, no need for amputation. And that was it. And Dr. Sundaresh, who is an ardent devotee of Swami, you know, for him, he knew from then on it is with Swami. And he came back and he insisted the rest of the doctors to go ahead with the skin grafting and everything. For more than 20 days, I was in the MS Ramayya hospital, and Swami used to send word to this doctor as to how I'm progressing, how I'm recovering. He used to send even sometimes sweets along with Vibhuti Prasadam.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, obviously so that I can recover much faster. So that timing is what I'm talking about, right? You know, he knew exactly what is to come. And that opportunity, if he had not given, because it was during that time that I got my PhD. So 2001 September, Swami gave me this opportunity. 2001 November, I got my PhD degree. Swami also gave me the job to join the university as a lecturer in 2001.
That had happened already.
By November 2001, I joined in the college. He also, during that interview when he told me to join for this duty, he asked me where I was staying. And I told Swami, Swami, I'm with my mother in a house outside, because I had by then finished and my professional certificate was in my hand. So I was not in the hospital. So since I was outside, I was with my mother. So Swami asked me, so where do you stay? I said, Swami, I was in a house outside. I was paying rent. And Swami was so concerned. He just asked me, how much rent are you paying? And I said, Swami, 2,000 rupees. And Swami said, 4,000 rupees. I was like, I said, 2,000, Swami. I wanted to tell him, but I knew, I mean, maybe if you calculate, it will all come to 4,000, you know, for all that, you know. But Swami was so concerned. He said, how can you waste your father's money and, you know, when you are not even doing a job? So he said, don't worry, I will give you a room. I was so thrilled to hear that, because, so to say, we all know how difficult it is to get a room in the ashram.
Yes, you can pay 10 crores of rupees.
Yes. I mean, there are people who are waiting, the donors and the whatever the terminologies are there. There's a huge waiting list, and here was Swami. He just looked at me and he said, don't worry, I will give you room inside. And so I'm just, you know, just imagine your situation where the job is taken care, the room is taken care. My parents came and stayed with me here in Puttaparthi.
Because they got the room, they shifted.
They shifted here with me. So Swami had made sure that, you know, he instructed the secretary, saying that this boy's mother is there, so you give with the kitchen.
Oh.
You know, to that detail, you know, it is not, because there are possibilities that, you know, as most of the boys, when they join, we are put together, the boys are put together in a room, so where their parents are not with
you
them.
Share rooms.
You share rooms with another brother who is working in the institution. So just to make that point clear, Swami told him, you give with, you know, a kitchen. And this other boy who was doing the duty, Swami told him, to him, you can give with other boys, you know. Such was his instruction.
Wow.
And that is how I got this room. I stay in West 1, C1. And even that room is such a blessing. you will not believe that, you know, the closest to Mandir.
Yes.
You know, so you get to hear everything. Because, I mean, at that point of time for me, Mandir was all the time. You know, I spend my time entirely. The minute Swami is there, I am there in Mandir. I did not understand the significance of that room till I actually met with this accident and I had to stay home. Because that was the time I know that I could hear the bhajans, hear the Vedam, everything, the Nagar Sangeetan.
Right
from 5 o'clock in the morning when the first Vedam goes around, and then the Nagar Sangeetan of ladies, then the gents, and then the bhajans, everything, because I could not physically go to the mandir. And I could just sit there and listen to all of this.
Wow.
At one side, it was painful because I was so longing to get back to bhajan hall and play the tabla. But at the same time, the very fact that, you know, I could hear everything going on, even if Swami's discourse goes on, you know, there are speakers everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, those are moments of depression.
Depression.
Are moments of,
very true.
You feel very lost.
That pain, it was such a blessing. And he orchestrated it all so beautifully. So the point I'm coming back is that timing, you know, he made sure that everything is taken care. And now when I was, so to say, ready to face the trouble, you know, that the pain that I was to experience, I can say for sure that if none of these had happened, I would have been maybe just finished my PhD and nothing else. Maybe I would not have had my room. Maybe I would not be having a job. you know, the situation entirely changes.
Yes.
It is just not the same as it would have been if Swami had not given me that duty.
That duty, yes.
So, I mean, that's...
I mean, so many thoughts flood my mind. One thing is, you know, I can only immediately relate to that episode of Draupadi.
Yes.
You know, Lord Krishna created that opportunity where she could tear her sari
exactly.
and give that simple piece of cloth,
piece of cloth.
To tie it around Lord Krishna's little finger, and which, you know, in her time, which Krishna knew was going to, Krishna knew this is going to happen, and so that he can give it back.
Give it back.
Multifold.
Very true. I mean,
the same thing here, you know, he allowed you to do that service.
That opportunity.
He knows what you have to go through.
What I have to go through.
And as Bhagwan many times used to say that, you know, I really want to do so much for you, but you know, you also have to do a little so that, you know, I can multiply that.
Multiply.
I remember that many times Bhagwan used to say that, you know, when I ask boys to go and serve prasadam, sometimes on one occasion when there were some boys who did not go for it enthusiastically. For any reason.
Yes.
Bhagwan once said, don't lose this chance because, you know, tomorrow when you are in trouble and you want, and I am seeing if have you done anything for the Lord.
Very true.
If there is at least one thing, I will multiply that.
Multiply.
So don't lose this chance of doing that little thing. And here he created that opportunity where, you know, as you very rightly mentioned, you were kneeling and serving the Lord. You're walking on your knees and serving the Lord. And tomorrow he had to protect
that leg,
same knee.
That very leg. That very leg. I mean, all that pain which I had, I knew I wasn't, maybe I will never be able to actually go back to that duty and serve Swami. These were the, you know, thoughts which really, really depressed me during those recovery days.
I can imagine.
But the more I started experiencing that pain, because I felt, no, this is something, like I was mentioning the other day during Sai Sanidhi, it was more of a blessing in disguise, because to actually have his attention on a single person like this, wherein he inquires how many operations have happened, how is he recovering, I mean, what am I to actually, Swami, to really worry about whether he is recovering or not? I mean, that is, you know, it's so unique. You don't experience such things day to day, I mean, with the Lord of the universe, right? So here he was asking the, you know, the doctor every time. And I remember still when I was, I think till June, I was in Bangalore. I was in the GH actually admitted for 3 months in Swami's GH. And Whitefield, and then I was General Hospital, and I had just gone out. I was relieved from there, and I was recovering in a house near Bangalore. When Swami actually asked the doctor here as to what are you still doing with him?
Oh,
you know, Swami had come to Parthi, and I was still in Bangalore. So then the doctor said, Swami is doing physiotherapy, and you know, he's discharged now. He's staying there because he has to do some physiotherapy. And so he said, if operations are all over, you ask him to come to Parthi.
Oh.
Let him come to Parthi. And again, that timing was so beautiful because I was staying in a sea floor here. Mm. And I had difficulty even to put in a weight on my leg, on my right leg where the damage was. But it was just that week, the physiotherapist had told me, today onwards you start taking some weight on your leg.
Mm-hmm.
And his actual exercise was next to a staircase where he was making me practice go up and come down, you know, one or two steps and come down. This is, I mean, what else do you call this? And the very next minute here, Swami says, call him back here. And
he has given you a room which is
in second floor. And I knew there is nothing that I need to complain about asking for ground floor or anything. I straight walked up with my crutches and everything. I climbed up my sea floor, you know, and I stayed in the second floor. So that's the timing, you know, I'm talking about. The doctor specifically had advised not to put any weight. You know, if I was to go, maybe they would have lifted me. That is a different story. But all said and done, he was even taking care that my exercise was there to climb up. And those few days when I used to climb down for darshan, I used to come and go. It was beautiful. And I can only say that much, in spite of all the physical pain, his love was seen at every minute, every moment.
Even today, Dr. Sundareshan,
he finds it hard to believe that
he
could do whatever he could
do. Yes, yes.
I mean, for you.
I remember Dr. Savitri Amma, she was the in charge in the Whitefield General Hospital. She told me that Dr. Sundaresh was unable to sleep in peace for more than 15 days because it was his responsibility when he said to the remaining doctors that, you know, I will take care of whatever happens. I mean, it is easy to tell, but if there was any danger,
any complication,
it was because he signed for me. I mean, my parents were not even there that night, you know, because he had to sign before the operation was done. So, you know, that is what
was it. It was at that moment when he put that devotee in him first.
Exactly.
And the doctor in him next.
Next.
He surrendered. Swami said he went for it, but I think medically it was not the wise thing to do.
It was not at all, because I can tell you years later, Dr. Varadachari, who came from the US,
yes.
he was the chairman of the Department of Orthopedics after it was opened here. He saw my leg and then he said, this kind of a recovery, even if we had come to the United States, we would not have done anywhere close to this. I mean, our, like the first reaction, what the rest of the doctors said, yeah, we would have amputated you. There was nothing that it could have been done, but this is a medical miracle and possible only under Swami's guidance, nowhere else. That is what he does, you know. Like, it's such a blessing to go through that experience and experience Swami's love, to be concerned and worried to the extent of, you know, getting you back to your feet, on your feet, you know. He doesn't have to do that. He's given us everything. But even to make sure that at every minute, every moment, like Brother Hari Krishna was telling that day, Hari Shankar, that, you know, instead of him being the chancellor of the university, he has to take care of every single individual who's been there, who's with him, serving him, either as a student or as a Sai Sanidhi member. And that was wonderful to experience.
Sairam, dear listeners, and welcome back to Morning Glory. You're tuned to Radio Sai's Asia Stream, and we are coming to you live from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, on January the 21st, 2016. And the time in the ashram right now is precisely 41 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time. You just heard part 2 of a fleeting moments interview with Dr. B. Shiv Kumar, an alumnus of the Sai University who is currently working as an assistant professor in the Department of Chemistry in his own alma mater. He was in conversation with my colleague, Brother Bishop Rushti. We are eagerly looking forward to your feedback to this riveting interview. As always, you know where to reach us at listener@radiosai.org. Next week, you can catch the conclusion of this Fleeting Moments conversation with Dr. B. Shivakumar right here on Morning Glory. And now, I am super delighted to announce that both our dear sisters and our dear brothers took my request to heart and have responded to today's question on Morning Glory. You will not believe, within seconds, I received 18 correct answers. The correct answer is, and I will read the names of the respondents shortly. The correct answer to my question was that the Japanese business magnate who visited Prashanthi Nilayam for Baba's 90th birthday and had special darshan of the Maruti statue on the Hanuman Hill overlooking the stadium is Mr. Osamu Suzuki, the global chairman of the Suzuki Automobile Empire. He was here for the 34th convocation of the Sai University, as well as for the 90th birthday celebrations of Bhagwan Baba. And he was here along with many other top Japanese business leaders, diplomats, government officials, policy makers, chancellors of universities, members of parliament, and others. This was a large and high-powered delegation from Japan. And here is the name of the large and powerful delegation of respondents, Radio Sai listeners, who got the answer right. Number one, Pooja Sahani from Hyderabad. Congratulations, Pooja. Brother Dina from East London in South Africa. Oh dear brother, you will never know how happy I was to see your name. One more brother, Brother Subhash from Dubai. Thank you brothers Dina and Subhash. Radio Sai sweethearts from Irvine, California, Shweta Sai and Shreya Sai. Shweta is 12 and Shreya is 5. I know girls, it's past your bedtime, but it's so nice to know that you're listening to Radio Sai. As I hope you get nice Baba dreams tonight. Brother Devraj from Abu Dhabi. Thank you, Brother Devraj. Saroja Kanjivaram. I do not know where she's from, but I'm, dear listeners, it was my oversight to not request you to add the place that you're writing from. Some of you have done so. Congratulations go out to Saroja. Sucha from Mumbai. Thank you, Sucha. Sai Krishna, an alumnus of the Sai University from Hyderabad. Thank you, Brother Sai Krishna. Sarma Pulela, thank you. Sandhya Rani P, again thank you. Shankari Subhash from Dubai, who incidentally is reaching Parthi tomorrow. Welcome home, Shankari. Sunita Menon from Bahrain, thank you. Nilesh Bhagwan Das from Durban, South Africa, and Dharani Narayanan, and Lalita Venkat, and Bhuvana Ganesh. Thank you all. Thank you, Brother Nilesh, Dharani, Lalita, and Bhuvana. And Fran from Cherry Hill in New Jersey, USA. Thank you so much, Fran, for staying up to listen to Morning Glory. Thank you all, dear sisters and brothers, for your participation. We feel so happy to enjoy this instant connection with all of you, all 18 of you who immediately responded. Because you see, for us at Radio Sai, our dear listeners are the ears of our dearest Swami. And when you respond so spontaneously, we feel so reassured of his attentive listening. For isn't he the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai? Thanks once again. Meanwhile, it is now time to ask you to send us your feedback to Morning Glory, the entire episode. As always, our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. If you have any thoughts, suggestions or comments about any of our programs, please send your feedback to this particular email ID, listener@radiosai.org or ORG. And now it's time to leave you to enjoy a musical treat from different members of Team Radio Sai till we meet next Thursday on Morning Glory with the conclusion of today's interview. And don't forget to remind your family and friends that coming up on the Thursday after, which I believe is 4th of February, are the two very, very important interviews with the current All India President, the newly appointed Mr. Nimish Pandya, and the All India President Emeritus, Mr. V. Srinivasan. Those are a must listen for every Sai devotee anywhere in the world, and they will be featured or debuted right here on Morning Glory in 2 weeks' time. Till we meet again, have a saisome day or good night to those of you who are going to bed now, and may Swami always be with you. Jai Sai Ram, and enjoy the music.
Prema Swarup Lara.
Happy, 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 be happy. Happy, happy, make others happy. All will be happy, God will be happy.
Saishwaraya Vidmahe, Satya Devaya Dhimahi, Tannasarva Prachodaya. Hey!
समग्रता समैक्यता saubhratritva. तेरे दर पे आए वो सभी एक हो जाए,
वो सभी एक हो जाए, वो सभी एक हो जाए।
न जात पात का भेद यहाँ, न ऊंच नीच का मर्म यहाँ, न जात पात का भेद यहाँ, न ऊंच नीच का मर्म यहाँ। आशा हमारी एक हृदय की,
मनोयान मनो कर देखो जन, मनोयान मनो कर देखो जन,
मनोयान मनो कर देखो जन, मनोयान मनो कर देखो जन।
साई के दरबार में,
जी हाँ जी हाँ जी,
साई के दरबार में,
निर गर निर निद मद भग भग रिद, निर गर बाबा धनिद बाबा धनिद बाबा धनि,
साई के दरबार में,
जी हाँ जी हाँ जी,
साई के दरबार में, साई के दरबार में। साई जो तुम न होते तो ये दुनिया का क्या होता।
परंपरा पुरानी बदल गई है आज,
काली घटा छाई है कलयुग की 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 आज।
मकर इस घन घोर अंधेरे ये रोशनी किधर से उठी है।
मानो यानो मानो आकर देखो जानो, मानो यानो मानो आकर देखो जानो, साई के दरबार में आओ जी आओ सुन लो, साई के दरबार में आओ जी आओ सुन लो, साई के दरबार में
दरबार।